Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. 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 It's the Benny Randall Show.
I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show. Yeah. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show. Yeah.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like always, you know how you can reach me, right? You can reach me at BennyRandall.com, or you can go to our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. Today's show is like all our other shows, extraordinary. We have MCADE, born Adrian Hines. He's an American music producer and rapper who's pioneered the hip-hop subgenre of bass music. His 1985 single, Bass Rock Express, is considered to be the start of bass music. His single, Bass Mechanic, is also considered a seminal example. He recorded on the Foresight record label, which was owned by his father, Billy Hines. His name stands for Adrian Does Everything, which refers to the fact that he both rap and produced his own records. MCADE started out by surprise to himself at the young age of 13, as he followed his father into the studio, who was producing another project with other artists at the time. Artists MC Chief and Sexy Lady song title Beef Box. And while there, Sexy Lady asked him what did he think about their track, and he replied, "I would do it totally different." So they scratched the original track that they were working on and started on a new track that would be the first record to be produced by MCADE, and it became Foresight's first record and first hit. His father recognized his son had a hidden talent, which was an ear for music, and his desire to create new genre of music, which he did, and he called it bass music. With a list of hits to his credit, such as Bass Rock Express, Bass Mechanic, How Much Can You Take, D-Train, Nightmare, On ADE Street, Got It, ADE Got It Going On, Sex, Crime, and Drugs, My Bass Is In It, Control Party, DJ Eddie B, Romantic Rhyme, to name a few. That's more than a few. That's a lot of hits going right there, ladies and gentlemen. Along with the title called Hit Hard, Hit Hard, Hit Harder, which inspired the tune by 8-Ball and MJG, entitled Pimp Hard, Pimp Harder, and many more. As many other artists have been inspired and have done renditions of MCADE's music around the world, such as UK, Germany, Asian, Brazil, which is considered, he is considered the godfather of bass music. As bass is used as a driving force of the music today, which he is world-renowned, recognized for, and has produced gold and platinum albums to his credit. Now with the maturity and passion endeavors, his faith leads him to the consciousness of what he puts out to the world, mainly for the youth of tomorrow, as he feels it is his responsibility to help motivate the youth of tomorrow. And to add to his credentials, he is now a published author. And we're going to get into that later in the interview. MCAD, thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show, brother.
Thank you, my brother. How you doing?
Oh, come on, man. You know I'm blessed and highly favored. How about yourself?
Excellent. Same here.
There it is. Man, you've been around for quite a long time. And for those in the world, everybody still don't know how much you gave to the bass music era. We've had several shows on addressing this, so it's good to have you here also. At the age 13, did you know you had that ability to produce music?
Well, it probably says 13 or what have you on my bio, but I think the age would probably rather be more like 12, because I started working at my father's record store a year prior, that's when I was 11. But my mother had stores as well, and you know, we had jukeboxes in the store, and I could, you know, me and my brother and sister, we were able to play the music for free on the jukebox. So Michael Jackson, James Brown, and then you had whatever blues and hot blues or what have you, ZZ, you know, all the hot stuff. So you imagine, you know, as a kid coming up, and my mom had her store, probably was like 7, 8, 9, those years of my life, you know. And we listened to the radio all the time. So it was just inundation with music that really, you know, I mean, it just kept going. So when I got to my father's record store and started learning that, it was like going to college.
Mm.
People looked at me as a kid, but I was a swift kid. Okay. Thank the father for that. But I picked up real quick, and I got a lot of information, you know, so I was able to do things that, you know, just wasn't average kid stuff.
So it sounded like you were born to do music.
I think so.
Wow, that's amazing. So what is your take on today's artists versus what you guys were doing back in the days?
You know, I mean, it's like what they were saying when we came up, you know, that rap wouldn't make it, wouldn't last, and it was garbage and junk. So with the kids today, it's just, it's their vibe. It's their understanding. It's where they're at in this time right now with music. So I'm not hard on the kids about, you know, their music or what it is or how it sounds necessarily. Some of it is, you know, out to lunch, but, you know, it's always like that. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Every era has their rebels. It's basically what it is. Even back in the James Brown days, they had their music rebels, as we say. You say out to lunch. That's a very kind way to say it. I'm going to have to use that from now on when I'm trying to explain things that are interesting. They are out to lunch, basically. I appreciate that. Let it be known I stole that from MCAD right here. That's a very kind way. I guess that shows your maturity of where you're at right now. So let me ask you this now. You also put out a hot new record, and it's almost like you did not skip a beat. How did that new single come about?
Well, what happened with that is my, you know, a couple of years back, about 2 or 3 years back, my daughter, she came to me, and, you know, I didn't know she was like secretly writing. So she was writing music and, you know, writing, you know, lyrics and stuff like that. And she let me hear one day, and it blew me away. And I was like, the first song that she like was, you know, giving me these lyrics and reading to me. And I was like, who wrote that? And she was like, I wrote it. And I was like, well, let me hear something else. And then, you know, so, you know, she piqued my interest. It was really, you know, it was something. And then she said she wanted to make a record. So I was like, you tripping. You know what I'm saying?
That's dad answer, huh? You tripping?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, I have really left the music business alone because of all the parlor tricks and all kind of foolishness. You know what I'm saying? So, and I did what I did in the music business, you know, to a great feat, you know? So I was cool, you know what I'm saying? And at the same token, doing music was not something that I necessarily thought I would be doing. Like you said, I just went in the studio by happenstance with my father. And next thing you know, I'm producing a record. Had no clue. It was never like really a desire of mine. It just was something that was in me that I didn't know and nobody else knew, you know. But my daughter, it was like I had to do the doting fatherly thing. And uh-huh. I was like, okay, I can't. She has this inspiration. She has this desire. So I have to be a good father and be a good dad, should I say, and, you know, and help her in whatever way I can, because the wolves out there waiting on her. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I had to, you know, I had to apply myself. And I did, and I started, you know, helping her and working with her. And
isn't it amazing? I just want to filter off of that for a second. Isn't it amazing? It's like from one generation to the other generation, your father didn't know that you had that ability, that he allowed you to express yourself. And now you didn't know that your daughter had that ability and you allowed her to express herself. That's amazing.
Yeah. That is something. So I started getting back into it. Now, people have been trying to get me back in the game forever. You know what I'm saying? But I just, like I said, I didn't really, you know, I was just, you know, not dealing with it. But when it came to her, to doing something for her, is why I got back into it. And then I didn't even try and get back into it myself. I wanted to play the background role. You dig what I'm saying? And just produce. And, you know, it's kind of strategic for her, you know, far as the people. So, and I had a lot of fans and stuff that still look to me. So I was like, okay. And she wanted to do one of my old cuts. So I kind of, you know, did the cut with her, and I didn't kind of mean for it to do it that way. I was, you know, trying to figure out, but it just worked. It just, you know, it just meshed. So we did the record together, and, you know, the people, when we just put it out, you know, a week or so ago.
And give my listeners the title of that record and where could they find that?
It's called Bass Mechanic, parentheses, My Daddy Made That Bass. And you can find it on all outlets, iTunes, everywhere. Just pull it up. It comes up. You can go on YouTube and see the little video we did to it. We did a clip video. It's not necessarily the video of us right now, but we did the premiere clip video just to give you visuals while you listening to this fantastic song.
For those that may not have heard of MCAD, like you was under a rock, we're here in New York City. I'm going to give you a world premiere right here on the Benny Randa Show, live from New York City, Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, Manhattan, worldwide, global. Here's a little taste of that bass, baby.
I'm your bass mechanic. You want that bottom, we got it. We dropping low, low, low. Now they shaking, we got them. I'm your bass mechanic. You know we banging that bottom. We about to blow, blow, blow. Bring it back up and drop it.
That's what I'm talking about. You saw that was hot. That's a hot jam. So it when I listen to that song, Adrian, it seems like you really didn't skip a beat to be away from music that long and come back, and it's got a fresh appeal to it. That's extraordinary. That lets you know that you can take the man out of music, but you can't take the music out of the man.
Yes, this is true.
Why did you fall back from the music business, though? What? I mean, this is your love.
It was just, it was just, you know, the game had changed. People started getting on records. That's when the gangster stuff started coming out and they started lying. And,
you know. You say they started lying.
I just couldn't keep up. You know what I'm saying? I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't falsify information like that. It was just, you know, it was just too fake for me. You know what I'm saying? So
people was not dancing no more, is what you're saying, basically. Because that's where you did. You made music that made people want to have a good time.
Yeah, this is true. You know, but I got records where I told stories and rapped as well. But the thing, like I said, the main thing for me was the game. Like you said, the game was changing with the music, with the style of music, and then you had to. Like I say, you basically had to be lying or telling these. You know, I could talk about street stuff. I lived in the streets. I came up in the Pork and Beans in Liberty City. You know what I'm saying? I lived that life. You dig what I'm saying? But that wasn't far as for me promoting that to the youth as I became more conscious as well. That wasn't the thing to be doing. That wasn't what was popping, you know, and I didn't really grow up like that anyway, as far as, you know, my parents and my guidance, you know, mm-hmm. I grew up with a little more respect in my day, you know what I'm saying? Even though I did trip, you know, but, you know, we still had respect, you know?
That's very, very powerful. And in the interest of full disclosure, you know, I used to live in Fort Lauderdale, and I used to go to this record store in the Lauderdale Mall, where I became aware of MCAD. So it's amazing years later that he's still banging it out. Now, the only difference is we all got children. We got big children, you know what I mean? You know, in that aspect. So it's extraordinary. So let me ask you this now. You made this single. Are we expecting a new album from MCADE?
I don't know, because it's really like I you know, that's my daughter on the single as well.
Uh-huh.
It's you know, people are pulling to it because of me, you know, and they're getting abreast with her. Because
the ADE, I'm gonna be very clear. Now, it's only me, you, and a few million people listening to it, so you can answer the question now. So I just want to be very clear. All of New York City, and just a few million people, it's not many. Are you going to make an album? I just want to let you know this is being recorded. Go ahead.
Listen, I love music. You know, music is all in my bones. You know what I'm saying? So I will do more music with my daughter, and far as producing her. So if it'll be a thing more so, like, you could say I'll be like a kind of DJ Khaled. You dig what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Because I'll be producing it. I'll be there. You dig? And you'll hear things from me or what have you, but I'm more so
AD. Are you running for office?
No.
if y'all see how he just like kind of went around that question, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no, he just kind of said I don't know. But remember, we got it on tape right here, the world. We got it on tape here. Now, I understand where you're going. I'm just putting you on the hot seat right there. And while we got you already in the hot seat, let us move to something before we move to this awesome book that you have. While we got you on the hot seat, there was a lot of controversy out. It seemed to have settled down a little something about who started bass music. And we bought the world famous Ron May on here, kind of broke a lot of down. We brought Gigolo Tony, the one and only. we didn't hear back from Luke at this time. So my question to you, did you start bass music? Did Foresight start bass music? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well,
I have to ask.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. what happened, it kind of, until all this stuff really came up, it really brought up me to think and started me to think, because the first record that started, New York was the only place doing hip hop. And because my father back then, my dad, he was getting music out of New York, you know, all the, you know, new stuff, you know, with the Tila Rock, you know, It's Yours and Mantronics and different things like that. Which I shout out to Tila Rock, because Tila Rock and Mantronics, what they were doing at the time is really what, you know, impressed me and made an impression upon me, far as with the heavier sound, with the heavier kick drum, and, you know, that bass sounding like sound. Mm-hmm. And back here in Florida, I always, in my father's store, I would turn the bass knob all the way, you know, as far as I could get it, but I just couldn't get it the way I wanted it or enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to the studio by happenstance that night with Sexy Lady and MC Chief, I ended up producing that record. But what you can say, that record was the first record of, you know, hip hop in the South. First hip hop record in the South. And that goes covering everywhere. That covers California. That covers, you know, Louisiana with Master P and all that. You know, Jermaine, we used to get demos from Jermaine Dupri. All them cats know newer Foresight records. You know what I'm saying?
Because Ron May said that. Ron May did confirm that part of it. I guess he said that because a lot of people was going off to, you know, when Luke got on the BET Awards, and it was like, you know, he started bass music in the South. So, but it seems like people were saying that BET didn't do enough research, you know, et cetera, et cetera. In going further enough back, you know, your record out before Luke Records?
Yes.
When did your first record come out, and when did Luke's first record come out?
Well, Beatbox, which was Foresight's first record, which was the record that I produced, came out in 84.
Okay, 1984. Okay.
1984. And you got to remember, back then when we did records, it might have taken us months before we put it out. So we did the record in 83 and then put it out by the time, you know, like 84. You understand what I'm saying? Right. So because we was new to it. So a lot of procedures and different things, just, you know, not knowing what, and it was a big project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how that went.
You didn't have the major funds like the Sonys, and at that time where you could just blanket everything at once and it's all over the world.
Right. And it was more so a lot of lack of know-how. You understand? So
because you guys was learning as you go.
Right. Yeah, my dad was learning, so it was like, okay. And it was like, okay, well, we got to get this done. We got to get the labels. We got to do this. And it's just timing, and, you know, this timing just got ate up like that. And it was no pressure because it was a project, and he was thinking like, hey, it's a big deal. So, you know, so not realizing, like I say, lack of knowledge was a lot of that.
When did Luke's record come out? Because I don't think you mentioned that.
I think Luke came out, he came out in 86, I think his record came out.
So that would have been 2 years behind the first record you guys put out. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And even the record I did as an artist, I came out, that came out in 85. You know what I'm saying? We did that in 85. So, and, all right, you then. Know.
So yeah. What I want to put it on, the thing, like I always tell my listeners and my Google squad, as I say, Google it, you know, and fact check.
Google
just Google it, you know, and see if he's telling the fact truth. Okay, that's what we do. We Google-licious up in this piece. Go ahead.
Hey, but check it out. What happened? Somebody on Facebook, and when that whole thing kicked off, and they was like, "Well, I Googled it, and it said Luke came out first before you." And I said, "Look at that. Now we know Google has got it messed up.
You really? Google got it wrong? Hold up.
Google got it wrong. You understand? Because that's before Google time. So Google is just getting information that was given to it. You dig what I'm saying? So
to my friends at Google, just the opinions expressed here are strictly those of MCADE.
but
are you telling me Google got it wrong? Yeah. Did Wikipedia get it wrong too? Is that what you were saying here?
Well, you know, there was this guy who went on and he kind of tried to alter, you know, because they used to alter that Wikipedia stuff, but I don't think Wikipedia necessarily got that part wrong.
Okay, then you know? This is all my listeners have to do then. Google the images of the record.
That's it.
The images of the records will say exactly, and that will bring it up. So all my Google-ishes, send me the image of the record, and we can put that on. That's why we did it right here today. All right? Trust me, it'll probably be on before the show over. But it's amazing how when things happen prior to this mega system of information that we live in, you know, things can get conscrewed. But you can't change the records. You can't change the face of the records.
You can't change that.
So that has to be there for all of those people, because I've seen a lot of the back and forth going on online. So, and I think I've seen some of those comments. You know, people saying, "Oh no," when we had a fat man on, Ron May. I've seen a lot of those images. You know, not images. I mean, the banner. Because you know, people go crazy on Facebook and Twitter when they fight, and I don't even understand it. Ain't nobody gonna win no prizes, but it is what it is. What it is.
Yeah.
So you know, it's extraordinary. You know, for those that are just joining us, you're listening to the Benny Randall Show live from New York City and worldwide on iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Amazon Echo, Apple TV, iTunes. Let me tell you something. You can find us anywhere that you can stream audio. That's just how it's going down. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. We're speaking to rapper, producer, and now author, MCADE. Make sure you guys send in your comments. Let us know what you're thinking on our iHeart page or on Bashani Radio. Leave your comments and let us know what you think, because you guys are very boisterous and we love that engagement. And if it's something that we don't know, we will find out. So, and Google those images so we'll set the record straight. So, MCAD, let's move forward now. An author. Go ahead, my brother.
We understand with the Luke situation. Luke know better. He know what time it is. You know, because we actually we sat down. Me and my father sat down with Luke about putting him out, distributing his record. Okay, so we were already successful. We were already doing it. So anyway, but. One other issue I would like to clear up. There was an engineer that I did Bass Rock Express with, and he's out now claiming, and his name is Amos, okay? And he's out, you know, ever since this guy was trying to get me to be on Facebook at the time a couple of years ago, some years back, and I wasn't really into that because I didn't grow up with this kind of stuff with Facebook and people in your life and knowing all your business and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I wasn't really into it. And anyway, this guy, Papa Wheelie or something, he was doing he came down, I think they say he was from Jacksonville or something, but he wanted to do a history on Miami Bass, you know. And so
I've heard his name in the internet.
Yeah, he's a white guy or something. I don't know what he is, but he came and the thing was, so I talked to him, you know, and you know, we talked and he was like, "Oh, it's great to meet you, talk to you, yada yada." But he wanted me to stay engaged on his site and, you know, on the face. I wasn't into that. So he kind of got pissed with me. And then he went and found the engineer, because there were mistakes made on the labels back in the day. The engineers, we didn't know no better. And my dad was giving the engineers producer credit, which they should not have been getting. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? So on Bass Rock Express, the engineer, he got the producer credit. So they ran with that, because like, yo, it says you're the producer, yada, yada. And the thing is, now he's telling stories. He's going to, you know, people, that, you know, it's become a big thing now. And he's doing these interviews, and they're saying, oh, he started this, and he did this and that. And he tell people when, you know, in the articles I seen where he says, we came in the studio and he told me and my dad to sit down and he produced the record. I just want to tell people, first of all, what he didn't know and what people didn't understand, you know, is that I produced our first hit record. Okay. So the only reason I went back to the studio and did anything is because my dad was like, yo, you made that hit record. Maybe you need to make a record. And this is so conflicting. When you listen to this guy's interviews and stuff, he says he came to the studio with his lyrics. Now, my lyrics were Bass Rock Express, okay? Mm-hmm. And I had the whole song written out and everything. He says this in the interview, but yet and still, and then everybody knows this record to be the first record to start that whole bass music trend. And so how did I come to the studio with my lyrics, the whole song written out, but he started bass music? You understand what I'm saying?
So let us be clear. Let us be clear, because, I mean, there's a lot of people listening to this. So let us be very clear. When you're saying he, are you referring to the engineer? Or are you referring to the poppy guy?
The engineer, Amos, yes.
Okay, so Amos is disputing who produced the record. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay,
right.
I want to be clear. So Poppy Willie is instigating that. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay, exactly. Just remember, these are allegedly, so I just want to be very clear. And I want to be clear when you're talking about he and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. All right, so basically you're saying the gentleman who we have not spoken to, so Amos is saying that he was one of the producers on the record and not just the engineer. Is that the understanding here?
Right. Okay. Well, I will tell people this, because he says, well, he helped me on my voice part and what have you. Okay. He may have, because he showed me how to do and work with the stuff in the studio. But producing my music, you understand what I'm saying? That first of all, what people got to understand by him, he grew up. When we met him as an engineer, what happened? When we met him, he was like a black guy wanting to be white. Okay. He knew nothing about street music, about funk, none of that. Okay, his style of music, he was doing something different.
Adrian, let me ask you a question. Who was in the studio on that record? Who was in that studio with you?
And which record?
The record you're referring to right now that he claims that he produced.
Bass Rock Express.
Yeah, who was in the studio?
Me, him, and my dad.
Oh, okay. So only you three was in that studio.
Right, but you got to understand, he's saying that he came up with this concept for bass music. And what I'm saying is, this is where it's impossible at, because he says in his own, see, a lie, you can never tell it correctly again and again. He says that I came to the studio and I had my lyrics and, you know, I had the song and everything already written. But the song, first of all, he did not know what we were doing when we came to the studio, because he was just an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't tell him anything. So when we got to the studio,
Did he own the studio? Did he own the studio? He worked for the studio.
He worked for the studio. Okay. But here's the brilliant part. How do we get to the studio? We never talked about what we're doing or anything. He had no clue of what we're doing. But we get to the studio, and I got this whole song, and there's no other song talking about bass. There's no other ideas, nothing, none of that going on at the time. So he just testified on his interview saying, I came to the studio with my lyrics already. The song was called Bass Rock Express. The whole song was already written out. You dig what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't make sense for anybody out there who's questioning this. It doesn't make sense that before I even got to the studio with him and I had my ideas and everything as he testified, and there was no other records or nothing out before this time, you know, then it leaves to, you know, to belief, even by his testimony, that I had to come up with this whole situation. This was my idea, my agenda.
So let me ask you this. Did he make any more records in that genre?
He did. But see, what you got to understand about him, you know, he's one of those kind of guys, he stole music. He would copycat music. And, you know, I had this little tit for tat going on Facebook, and I went on and called him a bold-faced liar and different things, because I know what happened. But I'll tell you this. I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it. I'll show you better than I can tell you when I start, you know, doing this other stuff, working with my daughter and stuff. And I did this, like the record you hear, Bass Mechanic. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I tell you what, if you did me back in the day, like you say you did, because I only made one record with this dude. I got a slew of hits. So if anybody got a brain, they can understand that, yo, this dude was doing his own thing. But no problem. Here we are, 2018. I just put a new record on the table. Step up to the plate. You do one now.
Mm. The challenge has been made, right?
The challenge is on.
It just got heated up in here, New York. I'm listening to AD. It sounded like back when LL Cool J was going in with Kumo D for a second. I thought you was about to bust a rhyme up in here or something, man. Karis One and MC Sharon, you know what I mean? The bridge is over.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh my god, ADE was like, the bass is over. The bass is over.
Okay.
Okay.
It's over, real talk.
It is going down. Why does it always gotta happen here in New York with the controversy start? What really going on, man? No.
Because people get thirsty for you know, the entertainment and the paparazzi, you know, and and when it came around with this whole bass thing, it was a claim to fame, man. It was like, yo. And then, like I said, because his name was put on the record for just like the Beefbox record, the first record, you know, engineer that we work with a lot and has, you know, done great work with us, but he was put down as producer. I was put down on that record for special effects. You understand what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this then. So this was the only record you guys did together, but yes. I guess the premise here, and I'm just speaking on based off information on one side here now. He's basically trying to claim, according to you, is that he was really responsible for bass music and not
right,
you.
Exactly.
Is that the understanding
right
here?
Right. But that's impossible. What I'm telling people.
Did he have any other hit records outside of the record he did with you?
Nothing. Everything he did after that, you know, because remember, their company, they could put out records real fast at the time.
Uh-huh.
The company he was working for, they were very advanced in, you know, the music business. You know what I'm saying? But
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.